After Dr. Roach's talk, Dr. D'Amico again presented the panel with a challenging case.
Suppose we've got a guy who's 74. He's got non-insulin-dependent diabetes mellitus and hypertension. Okay, he's got a family history of MI, and he's on Lipitor because he already has a diagnosis of hypercholesterolemia 10 years ago. Okay, he comes in, and you know, you're looking at him, and you know, he's ambulatory. He's not using a cane or a wheelchair, but he looks his age. He looks 74. And you start to have a conversation with him, and you start to ask him, you know, about his functional status. And he tells you most of his day is in the living room, you know, in front of the television. He's a little bit overweight. He's got a Gleason score of 7, 4 plus 3. He's got a nodule. He's got more than half the cores positive, and his PSA is 9. Okay. So, you know, this is a guy who's on, you know, the standard intermediate risk patient with that comorbid profile I just mentioned. And how does the panel feel about radiation and hormonal therapy, if that's the route we're going to go in this guy? Are there any pros or cons here in terms of hormonal therapy in a guy with vascular risk factors, a little overweight, sedentary, and looks his age at 74? Dan?
One of the things that would concern me about this patient is there was a presentation at ASCO this year where they looked at lipid levels and also glycosylated hemoglobin. There was more difficulty controlling these patients over a long period of time on hormone therapy versus not. This patient also is, I think, at a high risk of dying from his cardiovascular disease before he's going to develop problems from his prostate cancer. So I would tend to be on the conservative side with this patient.
So Mac, having heard that, do you agree with that, and how would you treat him?
Well, the problem is that if you're going to treat his disease, I offer him what I think is the best and most effective treatment for his disease. The patient, I'd informed him that, you know, if you just want radiation to your prostate, we can do that. You know, I'd explain all the options, but I think most frequently patients, they want the most effective treatment. And the morbidity in our hands and in the hands of those who do a lot of this kind of stuff is not that great. And I think it's hard to give somebody a treatment that you think is a lot less effective just because they're 74 and they have, you know, some comorbid conditions.
Okay, and I think that those are both fair arguments on both sides, and I'll just say one closing word on it. The other question that comes up in a gentleman like that is, now you give him the radiation and the hormonal therapy, he puts on 20 pounds, he's not moving around, he becomes slightly anemic. Should there be a primary care or a cardiologist or somebody else involved in watching him with you as he progresses through hormonal therapy and starts to develop, you know, perhaps some unmasking of underlying vascular disease? I just put it out there as food for thought. It is not the standard of care. But I think all of us, I know myself and my own experience, have seen men who are in their mid-70s and look like they're in their mid-70s, and I put them on hormonal therapy because that's the right thing to do for their cancer, and I watch what happens to them. They never lose that 20 pounds, and in some cases, their shortness of breath that they already had can get worse. The big medical picture there is something just to consider. I think hormonal therapy has an excellent role in prolonged survival in men who are radiation managed, as we've seen from Dr. Roach, but it also has the potential to do some harm, and I think just having that on your radar screen is important.